Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Welcome everyone to the Bronx Sports Jedi MMA Weekly with Austin and Chef Dan. I am Austin and my co-host Chef Dan. How you doing? How you doing, Chef Dan?
Salute to you, Austin. Salute to everyone in the chat. I hope everyone's doing well. Just getting ready to recap this week of MMA, the weekend that happened, the violence, and I'm ready to get right into what's going to happen this Saturday night. So how you doing, Austin?
Doing all right. Can't complain. Excited for what happened Saturday. Like I said, definitely look forward to what recap what happened last Saturday and talk about this Saturday as well. And let's get started. I guess we'll start with the main event of UFC 271 live in Houston, Texas, between Robert Whittaker and Israel Adesanya for the middleweight title.
I was saying we definitely have to get started with the main event because some people found it a little controversial about the decision or whatnot, but I'm here to talk some people off the ledge.
It's a very close fight. Israel Adesanya wins this fight via unanimous decision, 48-47, two judges scorecards, and one judge gave him 49-46, which I disagree with. This was a very competitive fight. It was a very interesting fight, to say the least, because Israel did drop Robert in the first round. It looked like a repeat of what happened last time they fought back in Melbourne. No, in Australia. I forget where in Australia, back in 2019 when Israel won the belt from Robert Whittaker. But Robert was able to survive and didn't get finished, and this fight went to decision. Robert Whittaker was able to have some moments in this fight where he was able to hit Israel a couple of times and even take down Israel several times, and I think went for a submission, but didn't get, obviously. Israel was able to fight off of it. And Israel Adesanya was very very patient in this fight, to say the least. Like, he would tag Whittaker, but never go aggressive and like try to like finish him. Like, he would, you know, he would throw, you know, leg kick. You know, he did mess up his leg by throwing a lot of leg kicks, especially early in the fight. Israel did to Robert Whittaker. But Israel was able to basically, you know, fight. I don't want to say fight safe, that's the wrong word, but he was able to, you know, like I said, he was picking apart with shots, if that makes sense. You get what I mean, right?
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. It isn't fighting safe, this is octagon control. That's what it truly was. It was octagon control. He knew where he wanted Robert Whittaker to be in certain places, where he wanted to strike, where he wanted to apply pressure to get Robert Whittaker against the cage. That way he can do certain, you know, tactics, things of that nature. Like, Izzy was always one step ahead. And as, you know, I know Izzy won the first round to me clear decisive as he dropped Whitaker. And, you know, and Whitaker kind of came along later on in that round, but I still thought Izzy won a clear cut. And Izzy was fighting a better fight as round 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, came along. But you never, like, as Whitaker was getting better and better, it never felt like it was enough to put Israel Adesanya in danger up until maybe I'd say the 5th round. But all throughout, you know, the 1st through 4th round, I felt like he controlled Whitaker. I felt like Israel controlled Whitaker everywhere he wanted to go. And he landed all the strikes he wanted to. I even saw a couple of replays where he landed a good knee, you know, up to Whitaker in one of the, you know, I think the 2nd or 3rd round there. But it was like, you know, it was all accurate striking. I don't think he was going to let the fight devolve into a brawler's type of fight, because that's something that Robert Whittaker excels in. I think he would be better than Israel Adesanya in letting it devolve into a brawler type of fight. But I think all in all, what Israel Adesanya was able to do was just, he controlled the fight. He picked his shots as much as Israel Adesanya engaged. I mean, as much as Robert Whittaker engaged in that dance as well. Because Robert Whittaker, it wasn't like he was swinging wildly. He was in control. His shots were, you know, all his shots were picture perfect. There was nothing wrong with the form and everything that he took. The one criticism I would have for Robert Whittaker was that he needed to throw the right hand a lot more. But in hindsight, watching it later on down in the fight, whenever he did throw the right hand, that was what Israel was looking for to counter him. So I can see why he wasn't comfortable throwing that right hand, but he's at least got to give him the threat of the right hand, at least from a different angle.
That's true. He didn't, yeah, I didn't, now I'm, yeah, you're right about the right hand, that he didn't throw a lot of it in that fight. He didn't, in which I understand, considering Israel was waiting for that second counter, Robert Whittaker, because Israel was probably the best counter striker and probably in the middleweight division. No, not probably is the best, I should say.
Yeah, you know, currently he's the best counter striker in the middleweight division.
Yeah, and I can see that. I mean, this fight was very, I thought it was a very competitive, close fight, because as you know, Israel, like I said, was landing a lot of his shots like he wanted to. It wasn't like he was dominating Robert Whittaker, if that makes sense. He was winning, controlling, but I never got the sense that it was Robert Whittaker was fighting Israel's fights, like, totally, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, and to that I might add, you know, a lot of fighters are coming out saying that they, Michael Chandler in particular, he put out a tweet saying that he really didn't want champions coasting to decisions and, you know, getting the decision right there. But the one thing I'd have to ask Michael Chandler is, when Israel Adesanya was throwing all those shots and his pace didn't lessen, I don't think his pace lessened at all between the 1st round and the 5th round. No. I want to ask, did he throw with the same intent of violence in the 1st round that he threw in the 5th round? I agree. Like, I think so. I think he threw trying to land damage all throughout the round. Now, whether it damages Whittaker or not, that leads from one thing, you know, that's to be discussed with Whittaker and his doctor. But Israel Adesanya did throw with the intent to damage. And he did look like he was damaging Robert Whittaker, because he may not have, you know, he dropped Whittaker that one time and Robert Whittaker may not have been bloodied up. But one thing I can say is that whenever Whittaker got hit by Israel Adesanya, he had to reset. Whenever he felt like he was getting ground, and it's like, you know, even, you know, the commentators, DC and Bisping, they were both commentating, you know, he should have gambled a lot more in, you know, whenever he had a chance, when he had, especially when he had Izzy, I'd say around the 4th and 5th round, when he was landing those 2-hit combos with the left hand, he was landing him, he was landing it clean on Izzy, and they were saying, you know, why doesn't he rush in a little bit more, try and throw that right hand? But whenever he try and throw something, Izzy connected right back, and Robert Whittaker had to reset himself. That's showing enough damage to me.
I mean, I can see what, I mean, yeah, that's a good point, but I see some of where Chandler's coming from, I get, like, I can see both sides. I mean, you make good points, Dan, about what Israel, about the reset where could I do every time he got hit, especially in the fight. Like I said, there were a lot of opinions on this fight. I mean, I saw Justin Gaethje thought Whittaker won the fight, which kind of was, like, surprising. I know Chael did as well. This was one of those fights that a lot of different opinions on the judges' scorecards. I mean, not judges, but people's scorecards, rather, not judges, excuse me. And yeah, I thought to me this was a close enough fight that I thought, you know, I thought Israel did enough, but I thought it was so close that it's like, whoever wins this fight, I can see argument, but I wouldn't be like too upset if whoever won the fight, you know, one of those judge decisions where it's so close that whoever wins, you can't be too upset about, because it's kind of hard at the time. It was, for me, hard to judge.
To me, it wasn't that hard to judge. The numbers didn't lie to me. Looking at the numbers, Israel Adesanya outlanded Robert Whittaker. And, you know, he had some takedown attempts. He was able to take down Izzy a couple of times, but he didn't do much with those takedowns. So there wasn't much damage applied there. He had some submission attempts, but they didn't come through to fruition. To me, man, it really felt like Izzy controlled this fight. Rounds 1 through 4, and it maybe got out of hand a little bit in the 5th round, but he still, you know, walked out. It wasn't, you know, out of hand to a point where I felt like Robert Whittaker dominated that round. That one maybe is a little more up for grabs. We can debate that one. You can, you know, that one right there, you can take it as football, game of inches here and there, but all in all, to me, I thought Israel Adesanya just dominated the fight.
Well, I was gonna say, Israel says he wants to return fight in June, and I can understand he didn't take too much damage, and we probably know who's gonna fight next, which we'll talk about that after we go over the co-main event.
Most definitely, we can get right into this co-main event. Heavyweight bout that ended in the 2nd round via TKO through an elbow. Tai Tuivasa defeats Derek Lewis. And wow, this one was as surprising as it was to me, as soon as the matchup ended, I told myself I shouldn't have been surprised, because Tai Tuivasa, as impressive as he was showing the knockout power, the one thing I can say is that he's more of a he's more of a diverse striker than Derek Lewis is. And when I saw him throwing those leg kicks, I knew Derek was in trouble, because he wasn't taking those leg kicks very well. His only chance at that point for Derek was to kind of maybe fake, you know, play possum, invite Tai Tuivasa in, and go into some knockout power, try and get the knockout there. But he showed a new side of him with the wrestling, initiating the wrestling, going for the takedown. He did get the takedown, was able to land some strikes and some ground and pound, but Tuivasa was able to survive all that in the first round, and even struck back a little here and there. And walking out of the round, man, it felt like, you know, at the moment, it felt like Tuivasa just survived Derek's onslaught, and that Derek, maybe if he had one more push, he could have ended it. But then Tuivasa comes right back out with those leg kicks, and Derek still isn't taking those well. And that moment, I should have known, but I still had hope for Derek Lewis to kind of come out with this victory. He's not taking them well, and then Derek tries to explode out of it into some striking. He lands some uppercuts on Tuivasa, lands some right hands, but Tuivasa he is a champ all the way through and through. He is a fighter. When I say that, I mean he is taking these hits that from Derrick Lewis that most people would just, they'd be out. They would be out cold. But he is taking those hits and he is delivering them right back. And then he gets into the clinch. He's landing some shots on Derrick, landing some strikes. Derrick, I believe he, before the clinch, he lands a left hand or a right hand on Derrick, and you can see that Derrick is dazed. He doesn't like it. That's when Tuivasa goes into the clinch, and then he goes with the elbow right there on the side of Derek's head, and Derrick folds like he just timber like a tree, lands straight down, knocked out, and that was the end of the fight there. Like, Ty Tuivasa, impressive showing. Very, very impressive fight. The one gripe I have with him is that you had the microphone, my man. You should have called for Ciryl Gane. You should have called for Ciryl Gane. The world is at your beckoning. You just took out Derrick Lewis, who was fighting for the interim championship. You have the opportunity right now to insert yourself into the championship picture, but you kind of, you know, you just said whatever, wherever. And so that's what you're gonna get, man. But all in all, it was a great fight for Ty Tuivasa. No complaints from me, man. What was your take, Austin?
I gotta say, I gotta give Ty a lot of credit considering he survived Derrick Lewis's onslaught, especially in that first round. Considering Derrick Lewis is one of the hardest hitting punchers, you know, in the heavyweight history, he's got more knockouts than anyone in heavyweight history. I think UFC history too, if I'm mistaken. But And also he got taken out by Derrick Lewis, so Derrick Lewis showed a new wrinkle in his game of wrestling. And I always say, if Derrick Lewis is on top of you, that's usually danger. That's usually the worst place possible, because we see Derrick Lewis finish so many guys getting on top of them, just ground pounding them. So for Ty to get up from that and survive, and even when he got up, he was near the fence, the cage, and Derrick was hitting him with some shots, but he was responding and throwing back. It was like, oh, wow. Ty's really got a chin, really got tough, you know, he's already showing his toughness and he's able to survive that onslaught. But you mentioned the leg kicks, you know, was doing his work on Derrick Lewis, and he was able, in the second round, basically, to, you know, land some shots that hurt Derrick Lewis, especially the leg kicks. And then I'm trying to remember, then they got in the clinch, which now I'm forgetting. You just literally described how they got in the clinch. Now I'm forgetting.
Tuivasa, I believe he hit him with I don't know. It was either left or right, and you saw it. When you saw the look in Derek's eyes after he got hit with that right, it was a right hand. It had to have been a right hand because the clinch was pushed to the left side. So, he hit him with the right hand, and Derek's eyes is just glazed, and he's trying to, you know, bull rush himself into another punch. But Tuivasa meets him halfway, negates the power of Derrick Lewis. Pushes him up again into the clinch, you know, and then vicious elbow over the top.
Yeah, exactly. Once they got in clinch and then they hit him with the elbow, that elbow was, like you say, landed perfectly. It was the side, like near the ear or the temple. And Derrick Lewis had like a delay reaction where he stopped for a second, then he fell, like you said, timber like a tree in the woods, unfortunately. And for him, and Ty Tuivasa get that impressive victory, which I think he got performance bonus. If not, he deserved it. I mean, imagine knocking out Derrick Lewis the way he did. I mean, that was a very memorable knockout, that elbow.
Yeah, he most definitely got a performance bonus of the night.
I'm glad he did, because that was a very impressive knockout. And for Ty, Ty wins, I believe, 5 in a row now. I believe it's 5 in a row for him.
It is 5 in a row. I believe he is now, let me check the heavyweight division one moment, ladies and gentlemen.
They usually update the rankings today. I don't know what time, but...
Yeah, it's updated. He's number 3.
All right, Ty's number 3. Wow, he jumped up that high. Man, they really put him up high. Jeez, he was 11 coming to this fight. They show him 8 spots. Where's Derrick Lewis at?
He's number 5.
5, okay. Dang, they show him really high. I mean, at this point, I mean, it would make sense for him and Gane to fight. I know he messed up by not calling out Gane, but I don't see why him and Gane wouldn't make sense. But, or him to... Go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, Ty and Gon fighting, considering that UFC wants to make Stipe and John Jones, but the problem, but who knows? Because the top of the heavyweight division is kind of, there's a lot of uncertainty with Francis and the surgery and his issues with the UFC itself. We don't know how that's going to work out. Plus, we don't know how long he's going to be gone with this knee surgery. Stipe hasn't fought in over a year. You know, Stipe seems like only wants to fight title fights. And then, of course, you have John Jones who hasn't fought in 2 years. I mean, let's not forget him and the UFC had their issues with money and things like that, contracts. And who knows if that's been resolved. So, every division at the top is kind of like a lot of uncertainty going on to that division. And now having a new face in Ty Tuivasa can help, definitely helps, considering it seems like Ty's getting more and more popular as he keeps winning fights. So what's, I mean, and plus it makes sense. Serian Zeragon just fought for the heavyweight title, and Ty is right there. I mean, if Ty can somehow beat Zeragon, I mean, it'd be hard to deny him a title fight. And plus, if Zeragon wins, I mean, especially if he dominates Ty Tuivasa, I mean, Zeragon's right there fighting for the title properly. Next.
Plus, on top of all this, the one thing I want to say is just in referencing an event that's soon to come up. But this is the reason why I said Tom Aspinall thinking he can do a slow grind up the heavyweight division doesn't work out. Because you see it. This guy has jumped 8 spots above you. And he is... Ty Tuivasa jumped 8 spots in the ranking. And he is now the number 3 ranked heavyweight. He is that much closer to a heavyweight title fight. Yet he was not the most proclaimed, you know, he was not the guy that was highly touted to be the next heavyweight with the whole bunch of skill. It was Tom Aspinall, if I'm correct, right?
Yes, you're correct.
So for this guy to, you know, Tom Aspinall now, his only saving grace, I hope, after he beats Volkov, call for the Tuivasa fight.
Right, yeah,
spice exactly. It up in the division. That's how you help yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there. Definitely want to spice up the heavyweight division, especially considering he beats Volkov. He's going to be highly ranked anyway, if he beats him next month in London. But yeah.
If he beats Volkov, that only puts him up to like maybe number 6 or number 5.
Right, at that point, he'd be one fight away from a title fight. At that point, if he beats Volkov.
If he beats Volkov and he gets to number 6, he's 2 fights away from a title fight.
Yeah, it can be, but it can also be 1, depending on the circumstance of the heavyweight division. You also got to take into account what's Francis, Stipe, John, who's the champ, and who's injured, too. I mean, it's a lot of you're right. Sometimes it would take 2, but some cases... All I need would be 1 more fight.
I mean, it could be. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But here's my thing, right? You could say that, but let's take into account what the division is right now. The next fight coming up is going to be an interim title fight. His best case now is fighting for the contendership to get into the interim title fight. Because if he's number 6, like, there's a world of difference between guys ranked in the, you know, top 10 and guys ranked in the top 5.
Gotcha.
That's the world of difference right there. And what I'm saying, which is why, like, if he gets to number 6, some circumstances could help him. But right now, looking at that top 5, there's always going to be contenders for an interim title. And Francis Ngannou isn't going anywhere anytime soon right now.
Right, and okay, I guess we can move on from there and talk about the co-main event, because we were mentioned earlier as Israel's next opponent. The co-main event was basically, the third fight on the card was a title eliminator in the middleweight division between Jared Cannonier and Derek Brunson, which Jared Cannonier wins the fight via second round TKO, 4 minutes and 29 seconds, the second round via elbow strikes all on ground. And this fight was a tale of two fights. I mean, the first round, it was Derek Brunson's round. Derek Brunson took him down. He even landed some big shots, too, which you sometimes forget. Derek Brunson, even though he's not the most technical striker, he's got power in his hands, and he can rock people and hurt people and knock guys out with his punches. And he did hurt Kanier several times and took him down and was going for a rear naked choke. It looked like he almost had it towards the end of the first round. Didn't get it, but almost had it as he won that round. But in the second, Kanier has power too and very big, you know, and is able to use it against Brunson, who looked like was somewhat a little bit tired because he attempted like 10 plus takedowns, if I'm mistaken.
I'd have to check the stats.
I heard Kanier say yesterday in MMA Hour that it was 13 takedowns, but I don't recall 13. I know he was going for a lot of takedowns.
Give me one moment. I'm going to check the stats. But, yeah, keep describing this fight. You got to describe the TKO, brother.
Yeah, and then, like, I forgot where it was, but then Kanier hurt Brunson. Surprisingly, because I didn't think – because I thought – Because I didn't think Kanier will, excuse me. Because I thought it was going to be a tough fight for Kanier because of the takedowns. I thought Kanier might be a little bit tired, but it turned out Brunson might be more exhausted. And once Kanier landed that one strike, everything changed. And then went for what?
Yeah, it was. He's absolutely right. It was 13 takedowns.
It was 13.
He landed 3 of 13, yep.
Okay. Wow, I did not know it was 13, but it makes sense why he got tired. And then once Kanier hurt Brunson went for a clinch, but it didn't do nothing. Kanier was able to get off the clinch and able to drop him. And then once he dropped and just elbowed him to death, and basically Derek Brunson's corner even drew the towel in, which it didn't matter because the ref was about to stop the fight. But if you watch the replay, you can see Brunson's corner throwing the towel in, which is something you don't see in MMA like at all. Like, it's rare. And some may say the ref maybe allowed Brunson. I mean, maybe the ref should have came a little bit earlier because Kanier may land one or two more elbows that were quote unnecessary because Brunson was out. But and the ref was doing his best. The ref was trying to stop it. Just that Kanier just kept going just to because he could use his job to put away the his opponents. By the way, Kanier impressive victory is able basically the number one contender to fight Israel Adesanya next.
Most definitely. I don't fault that referee for, you know, it was two more unnecessary elbows that it came in. But at the same time, Jared Cannonier, man, he has a pace and a gas tank about himself that we saw it with in the Calvin Gastelum fight. I thought he didn't win that fight, but he did have a gas tank all throughout that fight. He kept up a very good pace all throughout that fight and was able to put Calvin down, numerous times throughout that fight. So we know that Jared Cannonier has a gas tank. But, man, it really was a tale of two fights. You saw it with Derek Brunson landing all of those takedowns. Attempting all those takedowns that he did. When he got Cannonier in those takedowns, the compromising positions that Cannonier was in. And the way Cannonier was able to calmly, assess the situation and he didn't seem dejected, man. He did not seem, he didn't seem out of it. He came back out in the second round, and it was just, he reset. He mentally reset himself and was able to take he was able to land some shots on Derek Brunson. Brunson was phased a little, and then he got the takedown on Brunson, got a punch in, and then, yeah, like you said, we saw Brunson's corner even throw in the towel. It was rare. I don't think it was Brunson was gassed after the first round because he did say he was in the best shape of his life, and we saw it. Like, he didn't seem physically tired, but what I can say is that coming out of the first round, entering that second round, I think he seemed a bit mentally tired because of all the takedowns he attempted. And the fact that Cannonier seemed just so fresh, that's what I think. If anything, he seemed a bit mentally tired. And like when Cannonier had that same power, that's what I think caught Brunson by surprise. But all in all, it was a good fight by Cannonier. He called his shot immediately. And I thought it was very impressive the way he called it. Looked right at Dana, said, "Hey, I'm next. No one else. I'm next." Even had Izzy Adesanya co-sign that. And so That's why we have our next, you know, hopefully in June, that's when Izzy is the champ. He calls the shots. In June, we'll have a middleweight title fight. Israel Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier. But all in all, very impressive fight. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, it was. And both guys didn't take too much damage, so I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen in June. We shall see. But the next fight on the card, wait, is there anything else you want to say before we move on?
Nah, well, what I can say is it kind of, we're starting to see the landscape of the middleweight division right now. I mean, look at some of the rankings, sorry. I just wanted to play a little matchmaker right now. Cannonier versus Adesanya, that's next up. Vettori possibly fights Whitaker, because Vettori definitely wants, he has championship aspirations. That could possibly be the next fight. And we could also see Strickland versus Brunson. If Brunson wants to sustain championship aspirations, you can kind of subdue Strickland, who's a riser in the he's a rising star in the division. So that we have our matchmaking set right there. So a lot of questions being answered.
Yep, you're definitely. And excuse me. I guess we can move on to the next fight in the card, which is Renato Moicano versus Alexander Hernandez in the lightweight division. Renato Moicano wins this fight via rear naked choke. Second round, 1 minute, 21 seconds. And it seemed like this fight, it's Renato Moicano, basically. He seemed like the more accurate striker. Like, he landed more than Hernandez in this fight. You know, Hernandez has moments in this fight. It seemed like Moicano was, you know, was more poised, was more accurate. And they were hurt Hernandez in the second round, which then Hernandez, I believe, like Brunson, was trying to clinch on for survival, but it didn't work. And then Moicano was able to take down Alec Hernandez and then put in a rear naked choke, which I believe that's his. He's got a bunch of rear naked chokes. I don't know how many Moicano has, but he's got like a good amount of them. And he once again, that's like his signature submission. And he's able to choke out Alex Hernandez, which was a pretty impressive victory for Moicano, considering this is, you know, he's won back-to-back fights for the first time since 2018, when he was a top five contender in the featherweight division. And Moicano was a guy who had a lot of tension, a lot of hype. He was highly ranked in the featherweight division, lost to Aldo, then he got knocked out by a Korean Zombie. It seemed like all the momentum went away from him. But now, after winning this fight and his previous fight, and he's won three of his last four, Moicano's gotten like, he's like, he's getting a lot of attention back. He's definitely improved. Seems like maybe going up to lightweight, maybe has done wonders for him, considering he looked kind of like a big featherweight. Looked like he cut a lot of weight, so maybe going up the weight is definitely helping him revive his career.
I agree with you 100%. This is the seventh win via via submission. So he 7 out of 16. That's he's a submission specialist. We're seeing that. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you, Austin.
What?
This fight was not exciting at all to me.
Okay.
I don't know if it was because of the caliber of opponent that Moicano had. I don't know if it was because of Moicano himself. But like, watching this fight, it just wasn't exciting to me. I had a lot more fun with some of the other preliminary fights than I had with this one. And Moicano, he impressively won, you know, via rear naked choke, but just the fight in and of itself, it was not exciting. If Moicano comes back in there into the ring, hopefully he gets a better opponent, and hopefully he has a more exciting fight. But I'm going to keep it real. I kind of, like, the last 2 minutes of the first round, I kind of fell asleep a little bit. I woke up just in time for the start of the second round, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess I get to watch the second round. And I just in time, I saw the rear naked choke, so I saw how he was able to finish Hernandez. But this wasn't an exciting fight to me.
It was an okay fight. It wasn't the most exciting fight of the night. I'll say that. It wasn't I mean, well, it wasn't a terrible fight for me, but like, I agree, it wasn't the most exciting fight. Although Moncano had a good performance and definitely, you know, good victory for him as he's right near the top 15. Not in the rankings, but he's close. Especially winning 3 out of 4 in back-to-back fights. But good solid win for Moncano. Guess we can move on to the first fight of the night, which was Bobby Green against Nazared Hazarat. Which Bobby Green wins, via unanimous decision, 30-27. All three judges' scorecards. And
Austin was about to say Bobby Green wins.
I mixed both win and green. That's why I was like, what? Oh. But yeah,
Bobby win greens.
Yeah, but
sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Bobby Green basically, it seemed like Bobby Green was landing way more strikes than Nazared controlling him. But Bobby Green also was I feel like Bobby Green could have finished the fight if he wanted to. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just my opinion. Maybe I'm in the minority in terms of this fight. But I feel like Bobby Green, if he had just pressed the action, he could have probably taken out Nazared, but didn't do it. And like, he was kind of like doing like a Roy Jones style type of thing where he's using athleticism and like to like, you know, dodge punches and just, I mean, he was dodging, don't get me wrong, his head movement was phenomenal. He was dodging a lot of Nazareth's punches, but I mean, he did a good job there. But I feel like if Bobby Green could have kept, you know, throwing more combinations, he could have really done, you know, could have done more damage and gotten the stoppage victory. I mean, am I right on that or am I wrong? What do you think of this fight?
Oh, you're absolutely right. Watching this fight, there was Bobby Green missed a whole lot of chances to truly finish this fight. Not only that, but his striking really isn't diverse. He's throwing the hands only. He may throw a couple of leg kicks here and there. He might throw a high kick once in a while, but the diversity in striking isn't enough there to where, like, I'm seeing everyone after this fight, they were calling for Bobby Green to get a main event, and I hope he does against a high-caliber opponent. Because it'll just, you know, maybe, hopefully he proves me wrong in this, but I think there is a reason why Bobby Green hasn't been able to get some title shots. And it's going to show the gap. I think there is a gap right now between the skill set that Bobby Green has and the skill set that those guys in the top five has in his division. And hopefully he gets a main event on a fight night against a highly skilled opponent. That way they can show him the gap and he can just enter the gym with a more devoted, you know, game plan. Because Bobby Green with that athleticism is one thing, but if you have Bobby Green with athleticism and a game plan, it's a difference. I think that it makes a total difference.
Yeah, it does. You're right about that. Bobby Green with athleticism and game plan can definitely be a contender in the lightweight division.
It's just, you know, oh man. Especially, you know, you said the light. Oh my God.
I think lightweight, right? They're lightweights, right?
I believe so. Give me one moment. Let me check.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're lightweights.
I'm pretty sure they're lightweights. Yeah.
Because I remember Bobby Green.
Rafael Fiziev is Rafael Fiziev and Brad Riddell, they're lightweights. Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. Does Bobby Green, like, I'm watching his style and this is why it throws me off. Do you think that style of fight can contend against a Charles Oliveira?
No.
I don't think he helps himself against Oliveira.
Nah, he won. I've seen for Poirier, and Poirier knocked him out in the first round.
Does he help himself against Justin Gaethje?
No.
That style doesn't help him against Justin Gaethje, and so that's like that gap in what he's missing, and I'm not saying he has to... I don't know what he's missing, but whatever it is, he needs to figure it out. And if he can, you know, fill in that gap, then maybe he gives himself a puncher's chance. That's all you need, a puncher's chance in it, you know, in a 5-round fight against those caliber of guys. But Bobby Green, as much as he controlled that fight, it made me want to see him, you know, in a 5-rounder against a top 5 contender, because that lets me know, man, he's... Like, a glimpses of it was shown against him and Rafael Fiziev. If we watch that fight, if you remember that fight, it went to decision, and Rafael Fiziev, he was the more clean, more technical approach, and Bobby Green didn't know what to do with that.
Ah, God. Yeah, I vaguely remember it. Like, I don't remember it too much, but I know, like, it's barely remember it. So, like, it's that fight, but I get what you mean. Yeah, I mean, makes sense. Rafael Fiziev is the reason why he's ranked 11. He's gonna fight RDA. It makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the main card of UFC 271. Let's just talk briefly about the prelims real quick. Any prelim fight you want to mention? You mentioned there were some exciting fights.
Yeah, I just first fight I want to give a shout out to Casey O'Neill versus Roxanne Modafferi.
Yep.
I know that was Roxanne Modafferi's last fight. It was a great fight to me. It went back and forth. Me personally, Casey O'Neill won the fight via split decision. I thought Modafferi did enough to win the second and third round, but the judges didn't see it. So they let Casey O'Neill come out on top. So I'm not going to gripe about it. Salute to Roxanne, and hopefully she has a great second career in whatever she chooses to do. I see that she's an author right now. She has two books out, so hopefully her books become New York Times bestsellers. Salute to her. Another fight I want to salute, Kyler Phillips versus Marcelo Rojo. Kyler Phillips won this fight in the third round in via submission. It was armbar. And this, to me, was Kyler Phillips' best fight ever. Best fight ever. Because we know Kyler Phillips is an athletic freak. But he didn't display that tonight. He was in control for all three rounds. And when his chance came, and he had plenty of chances, he capitalized on all of them. They maybe didn't end in an earlier finish, but he got the finish nonetheless in the third round.
Hello? Looks like... Hang on, Dan. Looks like...
If this fight... Huh?
He froze for a second. All right, go ahead.
Oh, okay. This was his best fight all the way through and through to me. And it felt like if, you know... This Kyler Phillips felt like could go five rounds. I believe that this Kyler Phillips can go five rounds. But... knowing the UFC, they're probably going to want him to show it maybe one, maybe two more times, hopefully on a main card. But this Kyler Phillips, I definitely believe in. And this was his best fight all the way through and through to me. Best showing for Kyler Phillips. I applaud it.
Okay, I do want to mention just quickly Andre Arlovski being Jared Vandera. That's how you say his name, right? Vandera. Vandera, the split decision 29-28, you know, for Arlovski, by two judges, four cards, one for Vandera. And am I wrong, I thought Arlovski won the fight. I feel like Arlovski was a little bit more active than Vandera. You know, Vandera, you know, when he landed, can had power, but I feel like Arlovski was more active. And I thought it was obviously an Arlovski fight just because of the activity. If Vandera was more active, he could probably be an Arlovski.
If he was more active, more decisive, and not only that, he had a lot of power. This is in the heavyweight division. I say if you're more decisive and more accurate with some of your shots, then that helps him. But Arlovski was just playing the vets game all the way through and through. He was more active. He landed a lot more on Vandera. He was damaging Vandera as well. Like, a lot of people felt like Arlovski squeaked this one out, but he was damaging Vandera with every shot he threw. And so I believe that he, you know, Arlovski deserved to win this all the way through and through.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to him, another legend. I mean, he's not retiring like Roxanne, but still, a guy who's been fighting since 99, at least 1999, and, you know, former UFC heavyweight champion. It's weird for him. Sometimes you think his career's done, he's getting knocked out, like this is the end. No, he goes back and wins some fights. And then goes on a losing streak, lose a couple, you know, lose like 4 out of 6, and then keeps on winning. And now he's, you know, winning, he's won a decent amount of fights since last like 5 or 6. So Arlovski's put on, you know, their win streak, and they're making a decent run again. Even if he's not against ranked fighters, but still, he's beating a lot of these younger guys, being the veterans. So shout out to Arlovski.
Most definitely.
And like I said, shout out Kate Roxanne Modafferi for, you know, her fight, you know, her last fight. It was a pretty good fight between her and Casey O'Neill. I thought Casey won this fight clearly, personally. Not that Roxanne didn't have her moments. Roxanne definitely, you know, did bloody Casey's nose and mouth and had her moments, but I thought Casey was more accurate. But give credit to Roxanne for fighting on her shield and not, and basically fighting to the end, basically. Never getting dominated by Casey O'Neill, though. That makes sense. Despite being the last fights, and Casey, who's highly touted. So, shout out to Roxanne Modafferi, who was a pioneer, one of the first women to start MMA, you know, to fight MMA. So, shout out to her in her retirement.
I mean, so with that being said, we can move on right into this UFC fight night that's going to happen in 4 days from now. It's going to be Saturday at 4 p.m. on ESPN. The main event on the fight card is Johnny Walker versus Jamal Hill. And this is going to be in the light heavyweight division, man. Austin, Johnny Walker, Jamal Hill. To me, man, this is a redemption fight for Johnny Walker.
Yeah, because
this is a redemption fight because that Thiago Santos fight was not it.
No, it wasn't.
It was the least exciting fight ever. I'm mad that I stayed awake through all 5 rounds of that fight. I could have fell asleep after the 3rd round, woke up, and I wouldn't have been surprised by the decision. It felt like they were two friends, but it really felt like two friends sparring in the fight.
Exactly. It felt like more of a sparring session than an actual fight. They were too respectful of each other's power, Santos and Walker, and that was probably the most disappointing event of last year, let's be honest.
Yeah, so Johnny Walker having to redeem himself, and Jamal Hill coming off of an impressive knockout.
Paul Craig, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Crew.
Jimmy Crew, my bad.
Jimmy Crew. After he lost via broken arm to Paul Craig, he comes back. Jimmy Crew, both him and Jimmy Crew are coming back from, you know, devastating injuries. And he caught Paul Craig with an impressive, I believe, he caught Jimmy Crew. Sorry, caught Jimmy Crew with the right hand and finished it off with the ground and pound. He's coming off a very impressive victory, so hopefully this is, you know, this can propel him right into some, you know, some main events, and it gets him right into where he wants to be as far as, like, you know, being mentioned as a top contender in the light heavyweight division. So I'm looking forward to this as far as both guys have aspirations to, you know, to ascend, and they got to show out. They have to show out.
I agree. They both have to show out. This is a chance for them to extend. Since Jamal Hill is ranked number 12, Walker is ranked number 10. And this is the opportunity for them to get in the top 10, or Walker's case, move up in the top 10. And, especially a big-time main event, considering it was originally supposed to be RDA against, you know, Rafael Dos Anjos against Rafael Fiziev, but that got moved to the Kobe Covington and Jorge Masvidal card, which I'm not sure why, but it did. I don't remember. But anyway, there's a big time opportunity for these guys to step out and have another impressive to, like I said, move up the rankings and to build their name, especially considering last time Walker was in the main event, it was disappointing. He's got a chance to redeem himself, and Jamal Hill has an opportunity to climb up the rankings, which is kind of surprising considering that the injury he had back in June. That was in June of 2021 against Paul Craig that dislocated, I think it was elbow.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be out for a little bit longer. I'm surprised that this is his second fight since then already. That kind of surprised me. Like, I thought it was worth. I mean, I guess it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. I mean, I'm no doctor, but still, I'm surprised he's back already. Getting a victory, now he's fighting the main event, has a chance to move in the top 10 less than a year after his elbow injury.
I mean, if he heals fast and he knows his body, and he feels more confident, especially after that victory against Jimmy Crute. So, you know, he knows his body best.
Yeah, he does. That is true. And Jamal Hill has 5 knockouts, 4 decisions. So, he wins by knockout, TKO, or decision. Walker's got 15 knockouts, TKO. So, he tends to finish guys via, usually, knockouts and TKO. So, It's possible this fight does not go the distance. I wouldn't be surprised if someone finishes each other. I don't know who personally, but I'm excited to see this Saturday.
Yeah, I really like, I don't know what the money line is for this fight, but I don't have a betting favorite. Anyone could get finished here in this fight.
Yep, it's true.
And with that being, we can move on to the co-main event. It's Kyle Daukaus versus Jamie Pickett in middleweight division. Last time we saw Kyle Daukaus was against Kevin Holland. That fight ended in a no contest via headbutt. So, Kyle Daukaus, after a long time of inactivity, now fighting in the co-main event against Jimmy Pickett. When's the last time Jimmy Pickett fought? He has a victory against Joseph Holmes. It was earlier this year.
Wait, 2022 or 2021?
2022.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, he fought on the Kata Chikaze fight.
Oh, I did not know that. I know the name. I just didn't know he fought that card. I don't remember that fight, honestly. But yeah, good. I mean, I guess Pickett's come off victory, and Daukaus is coming off a no contest against Kevin Holland, which I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to do the rematch because I did want to see a rematch, but Holland's moving down weight, so I guess that's out the table.
I'm sorry. I didn't know Kevin Holland was moving down weight. It is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Kyle Daukaus is the younger brother of Chris Daukaus, the ranked heavyweight contender. I usually get them confused. Thankfully, I got it right this time. I always confuse the two of them. But Kyle Daukaus is 10-2 with 8 submissions. So usually he's a submission artist. If he's going to win, he's going to usually make someone tap out. Where Pickett has about 9 KO, TKO victories. No. 9. Carry more handwriting. Hey, let me check. I think it's 9 or 8. Let me check because I can't read my own handwriting. I wrote it down, but I'm not sure. Anyway, they're both finishers. That's what I'm trying to say. This might go. I don't see this fight possibly going to decision. I think someone's going to finish each other.
Yeah. This doesn't go to decision either for me. This I think there's going to be a lot of finishes in this card, especially with a certain name I see down there. But I feel like this is going to go to a finish. With that being said, you want to move on to the next fight on the card?
Yes, Jamie Pickett has 8 KO TKOs.
Okay, yes. This is either going to end in a submission or a knockout. I don't think this goes to decision.
Next fight is Parker Porter versus Alan Badu. Okay, Alan Badu. And I'm not too familiar with. I've heard Parker Porter, but I'm not too familiar with Alan Badu just a little bit, so I can't really break down like what to expect from this fight.
This may go to decision, but if not, someone is going to get knocked out because this is in the heavyweight division. And if I know Parker Porter, last time I remember him seeing him fight, he's a bull rush type of guy. He's going to rush in heavy, and that usually either leaves, you know, that gives you either two results. Either you getting knocked out, or you knocking someone out. So I feel like this one, this one might go into decision if both of these guys tire themselves out early, just missing a lot, you know, a lot of opportunities, but other than that, if this doesn't go to a decision, expect an early finish in this one as well.
Okay, and you're right, it's heavyweight, so it's possible. All right, it's going to be a decision from both guys tiring out, or someone's getting knocked out. I guess we can move on to the next fight, which is Jim Miller, the veteran Jim Miller, making his 38th or 39th UFC appearance. It's one of the two. I know he has the most fights in UFC history. That I know for a fact.
He's making his 50th day. His 50th, yeah.
Fight, but in the UFC, it's like 38, 39 UFC alone.
I think so. Give me one moment. Gonna look it up right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, give him one moment, just looking up to make sure.
Five plus. Give me one moment.
This is, I believe, a lightweight fight. Just want to make sure it's a light. Yeah, it should be lightweight.
But he got 33 UFC.
I thought you had more for some reason. I thought you had more.
Well, that's 33 victories. I don't know how many losses in the UFC, so give me one moment.
I know Nicholas Mota is coming off. He's on a 3-fight winning streak. I know that. So guys rising up, going against the veteran. Usually they try and, I guess, see if Nicholas can go out there and build his name off Jim Miller. I mean, if he does that, I mean, definitely give him more attention. Considering, I believe he won. His last fight was on the Contender Series in November 2020. So this is a guy that Dan White's probably high on. So if he can beat the veteran Jim Miller, can definitely, you know, Dan White be more higher on him and definitely build his name even more than his name is already.
Most definitely. And he is the betting favorite for the fight. And I don't see any reason why not. I think this is going to be one of those fights. Yeah, I think this fight might end quick. I don't know why I have a funny suspicion that a lot of these fights are going to end quickly.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be a lot of quick finishes. I think you have a good point.
Oh, man. I see Nicholas Mota probably getting a strike on Jim Miller and ending it via submission.
Yeah, I can see that possibly.
Mm-hmm.
We'll wait and see. Maybe veteran leadership can. Maybe his veteranship can help him in this fight for Jim Miller. Either way, we shall see. And speaking of finishers and finishes, the first fight in the main card is between Joaquin Buckley and Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, excuse me, in the middleweight division. Now, Joaquin Buckley is a favorite of both of ours. I think we're both fans of Joaquin Buckley.
Yeah. Numan Samosa, man. This guy is very impressive. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, he's coming off a victory. A knockout victory over, I forget who it was.
Antonio Ahoyo,
okay. And Abdul has come off a victory himself. After losing 3 in a row, he's coming off a victory in his last fight. So he's trying to put on a winning streak himself, just like Joaquin Buckley. Somebody's getting finished, I think, because Joaquin's got 10 KO and TKOs. We all know how spectacular his knockouts can be. But Abdul himself also has 11 KO and TKOs, so he's a finisher as well.
And I don't know if you remember, but his last finish was a head kick. In 17 seconds, yep.
Really?
Abdul Al-Hassan, like his last finish was a fight of the night type of finish. So it's these two guys where I'm not even gonna lie, expect they, no, like someone's leaving out of here with the, you know, at first sitting on the stool being talked to by a ref saying it's okay. You were out for a while. Here's what happened. That's what's gonna happen. This is not going to decision.
Yeah, I think so.
Someone's getting finished.
I don't think it's. Hopefully, I don't think it's gonna be. I hope it's not Thiago Santos Walker. Really expect each other too much. I don't think that's
no,
the case.
No. Someone's getting finished. Cause Joaquin Buckley, he doesn't operate like that. He is not a person that, you know, as much as he respects people's power, he's out there trying to dish out his own. So. That's not going to end that way. If there's any fight I know that doesn't end that way, it's a fight that involves Joaquin Buckley. He's slowly but surely making a name for himself.
Yeah, he is. Definitely. Especially after that highlight reel knockout back in 2020.
Against Impa Kasagane, yep.
Yep. Definitely. I'm definitely excited for that first fight on the main card. That's probably behind the main event. Well, that's the fight I'm most looking forward to the most of this card. It's a Joaquin Buckley and Al-Hassan card. Let me fight.
Yeah, me too. That's the fight I'm mostly looking forward to. After that, I'm kind of looking at the preliminaries right now, and I don't know a lot of these names.
Some of them I heard of, like Mari Batista and Jessica Rose Clark and
yeah,
Gabriel Benitez. I've heard of all these guys, but that I've probably seen them, but I don't know like too much of their styles, like break down, like what they do well, what they don't do well.
So this for Saturday night, what we can look at it is, you know, in regards to the preliminaries, we're about to be introduced to a whole lot of new fighters. So hopefully we see some new blood, man. Hopefully we see a guy that, you know, this year he has such an impressive knockout that he's the new, I don't even want to say, but let's say it. He's the new Khamzat Chimaev, or, you know, the new
Joaquin Buckley.
Joaquin Buckley, or the new man, what is this other guy? Islam Makhachev. Oh. You know, one of these guys who was just on a roll, or maybe a Patty the Batty Pimblett, maybe a new Sean O'Malley. You never really know. A brand new star in the UFC, a guy who's so impressive, not only during the fight but after the fight, the way he grabs the mic and grabs everyone's attention, it just lets us know he's putting the world of not only of combat sports but sports entertainment, putting him on notice. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Hopefully someone, this is a breakout performance for somebody in the prelims or even the main card. I mean, Nicholas Mata, this could be his breakout performance as well. Or maybe you know, Dawkins, or maybe Parker Porter, or Dawkins, or even Al-Hassan, or even, well, Buckley already has his breakout moment, but maybe he does something crazy. Who knows?
Yeah, to solidify himself. So it's all like, you know, this is a this card is a proving grounds right now. That's what I can say.
Even the main event too, considering proving grounds, who's a contender in this light heavyweight division?
Yep. I agree with you 100%, man.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely look forward to Saturday night. The card begins 4 p.m. prelims. Main card 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. So definitely 7 p.m. Eastern time zone. Just want to point that out.
Right. So is there anything else you want to add?
Nah, not that I can think of at the moment.
Nah, I can't think of anything either. I haven't gotten any MMA news across my feed yet, but if there is anything, we'll definitely put out a video and you know, talk about it.
Right, nothing big going on. Nothing so far. I guess, well, the big news is that Rafael Fiziev and Rafael Dos Anjos has moved to UFC 272, the co-main event of the Covington and Masvidal card.
I mean, but that's going to be better for me in my opinion. I think those two, it's better they go three rounds as opposed to five.
I saw five rounds. It was going to stay five rounds. I could be wrong. They may have messed up UFC, the graphics team. They might have messed up, but it's a five. Oh. I mean, five. What? I mean, I guess it's not. I understand it was the main event, but it's not a main event anymore.
Yeah, and it's not a Diaz fight, so.
Yeah, it's
not. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. Either way, like I said, when the week of the pay-per-view comes, we'll break down that fight, obviously, because that is a big fight in the lightweight division. I am definitely looking forward to see the Battle of the Raphaels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to end the show here, unless there's anything else. No, I don't think so.
Nah, that's it. Last words for me are, I can't wait for this card on Saturday. It's a prove it. I also need a break from the Knicks right now. I think every Knicks fan needs a break from the Knicks. So I just need to get right into the violence. I'm this, you know, football's over with. I can't watch any more Giants, but I get to enjoy this brand of violence. So I'm looking forward to this prove it type of card.
Yeah, and my last words are this is a prove it card. Can't see who proves it and see how what happens in the fallout this weekend. See who steps up, who makes a name for himself, who stands out the most of this card. I think we're going to get a lot of early stoppages, like Chef Dan mentioned earlier. Can't wait to see. And also, don't forget to check us out on audio platforms, where it be Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple, Anchor FM, Reason FM, all the different
audio. iHeart Radio, all of them.
All of them, yes. If you don't want YouTube or drain your battery, or if you're driving or working out or going for a walk, you want to listen to MMA talk, definitely check us out there. And thank you guys for watching us and supporting us. Don't forget to like and share the video. I'm Austin, and this is Chef Dan, and we appreciate the support and love. and definitely rocking like that shirt, despite what happened to Derek Brunson. Still a great shirt.
Still a great shirt. Derek Brunson, I like it. Salute to you, man.
Salute definitely Derek Brunson. And we'll see you guys next week. Until then, have a good night and have a good day. Stay safe and see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...